from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
still staying tuned in Indonesia Today through our audio streaming voanews.id and RRI Digital. I'm Duka Kusmawati and I will accompany you to complete your weekend with highlight of the week. First info is about President Prabowo inaugurates Indonesia's first gold bank service. President Prabowo Subianto has officially launched Indonesia's first gold bank, also known as a bullion bank. This gold bank is managed by PT Pegadaian and PT Bank Syariah Indonesia. The gold bank service was inaugurated in Jakarta on Wednesday, February 26. President Prabowo said the gold bank will boost the national economy.
We hope that this will increase our gross domestic product. If I'm not mistaken, it could add 245 trillion rupiah, and it will also create 1.8 million new jobs.
President Prabowo highlighted that the gold bank service will optimize gold processing within the country. It will also save foreign exchange and help control monetary stability through gold liquidity. Next, we have information about Indonesia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs launches campaign to raise $200 million for Palestine. The Indonesia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, in collaboration with the Indonesia Olympic Council and the National Amil Zakat Agency, has initiated the launch of a humanitarian aid campaign for Palestine with the target of $200 million, or approximately 3.27 trillion rupiah. During the launch event of the Indonesia's for Palestine's campaign on Wednesday, Deputy Foreign Minister Anies Mata stated that the funds would be used for humanitarian assistance and reconstructions in Gaza. We have all gathered today to begin a solidarity movement for Palestine. This is the result of our discussion over the past 3 months with all the NGOs present here. And we are starting a more coordinated solidarity movement to channel aid to Palestine. We are starting with the initial target of $200 million.
Supaya kita bisa menyalurkan bantuan ke Palestina.
Deputy Foreign Minister Anies Mata explained that one of the roles of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is to support and facilitate what he calls humanitarian diplomacy. He also emphasized that the ministry will use various diplomatic channels to ensure the aid reaches Gaza, which remains under Israel's blockade. Now we have information about Minister of Health, where health must be a collective movement, not just a program. Indonesia's Minister of Health Budi Gunadi Sadikin emphasized that health should be more than just a program. It must become a collective movement that involves all segments of society. The minister made this statement during a webinar on the Free Health Check campaign in Jakarta on Wednesday. According to him, maintaining health requires the active participation of everyone, not just individual efforts.
Kesehatan itu adalah nggak bisa dilakukan.
Health cannot be done alone. It must be a collective effort. It cannot be just a program. It must be a movement. We need to use all Indonesia's social capital to make our people healthy. It's not just about treating the sick. A healthy population will ensure our average income reaches 18 million rupiah. If we reach that, we will become a developed nation, and President's vision for a golden Indonesia will come true.
Dan mimpi Bapak Presiden untuk Indonesia emas itu terjadi.
Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin also emphasized the role of mothers in promoting health through the Free Health Check program. This program aims to prevent chronic disease and support the goal of achieving Golden Indonesia by 2045. Let's move on to our next info, where foreign visits increasing in Indonesia. The Ministry of Tourism is optimistic can increase foreign tourist arrivals and domestic tourist movement through collaboration with various parties. Dora Pardede has the details.
The Ministry of Tourism is targeting the number of foreign tourists visiting Indonesia in 2025 to reach 14.6 to 16 million. Meanwhile, the number of domestic tourists is targeted at 1.08 billion movements. This was conveyed by Deputy Minister of Tourism Nilu Puspa when giving a speech at the inauguration of the Central Executive Board of the Indonesian Cultural Creation Sport Federation for the 2024 until 2029 period in Jakarta, Thursday. With the collaboration of various parties, Niluh Puspa is optimistic that she can achieve this target.
Tapi kita harus selalu optimis.
But we must always be optimistic. The work of this deputy is extraordinary. We finally, it's good. We finally thought that this must be collaborative. We can't work alone. In the end, we both lowered our respective egos. That work that has a positive impact on society must not stop with efficiency. This is precisely where we must realize that we cannot work alone. We must work together. Together with whom? With the ministry, other institutions, with community friends, also with the private sector and all those who have the same vision in this tourism industry.
Semua yang punya kesamaan visi di industri pariwisata ini.
In addition to the number of domestic and foreign tourist visits, Nilu Puspa revealed the Ministry of Tourism is also targeted to provide foreign exchange for the country of 19 to 22.1 billion US dollars. According to Nilu Puspa, through meeting incentive convention and exhibition other MICE, the tourist foreign exchange target can be achieved. Nilu further explained that MICE does not always rely on the government through the state budget, but can also be organized by the private sector and the community. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Our next info is about Prabowo at the regional heads retreat, who said that we are servant of the people. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto said that the elected regional heads are servant of the people. Ranoff has the details.
President Prabowo Subianto emphasized that elected regional leaders are servants of the people. He delivered this message during the retreat dinner at the Military Academy in Magelang, Central Java. On Thursday, Prabowo said the purpose of the retreat was to promote mutual understanding and cooperation among regional leaders.
I want to emphasize this. We have become state officials. All of us, mayors, deputy mayors, regents, deputy regents, governors, and deputy governors have been elected by the people. We are all the people's servants. We are the people's administrators, and we are the people's leaders.
Prabowo also noted that although the regional leaders in attendance come from different backgrounds, they are all part of the longer Indonesian family. The dinner at the Hussein Dining Hall Military Academy Complex Magelang Central Java on Thursday, February 27, 2025, was held a part of the regional leader retreat, which served as a platform to strengthen relationship and synergy in national leadership.
Coming up next, information about United Nations said journalists have roles in climate action. Director of the United Nations Information Center in Jakarta, Miklos Gaspar, said the media in Indonesia, especially radio, has the power to tell people about climate change and urge them to do climate actions. Therefore, in his recorded remarks during the media workshop for journalists at the headquarters of Indonesia's public radio, RRI, in Jakarta on Thursday, he said journalists have an important role in creating stories that empower people to tackle climate change.
The responsibility of a journalist like you is not just to inform, but to educate and empower. Climate reporting should be about hope and action, demonstrating solutions to problems. When farmers in Java find innovative ways to adapt to drought, that's a climate story. where coastal communities will rescue with resilient defenses against rising sea levels. That's a climate storm too.
Furthermore, despite Indonesia's commitment to reducing emissions by 29% independently and 41% with international support, Gaspar said policy alone is not enough. Therefore, he said people should understand climate challenges and ways to face them. Gaspar further urged the journalists to take the responsibility of climate action seriously by bridging the gap between science and society, engaging communities in climate action, and using available platforms and influences to shape a more sustainable planet. Next info is about expert encourage the use of electric public transportation for a clean air. Chairman of Muhammadiyah Climate Center Agus Jamil encouraging the use of electric public transportation in everyday life. According to him, this effort is more effective in suppressing air pollution, which is a current concern. During an interview with RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Thursday, he stated that such efforts will be likely more effective to reduce air pollution in big cities, including in Jakarta.
The objective is to get the clean air, the climate, the less emission, the less emission. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, like, if we spend more on the EV for the public transportation, for the electric bus. This is Jakarta now. At the moment, we have around 300 electric bus or the commuter line, like or LRT, things like that. Yeah, which are one goal. You can carry a lot of people, that reduce traffic and reduce the emission. That will be need to consider more to have a public transportation based on the clean fuel, like electric.
Previously, the Minister of Investment and Downstream, head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Rosan Perkasa Roslani, conveyed the government's discourse to encourage the development of the Pindad Maung tactical vehicle into an electric vehicle. According to him, this can accelerate the energy transition to renewable energy. On the other hand, PT Pindad already has one prototype, namely the Pindad Morino EV, which was introduced some time ago. Based on the information on the official PT Pindad website, the Morino EV is a light, four-wheeled electric vehicle to support operations with high mobility. Meanwhile, a state-owned food company ensures food stability during the Islamic month of Ramadan. Director of the Indonesian state-owned food holding company ID Food, Sis Apik Wijayanto, ensured food availability during Ramadan this year. In a press conference on Thursday, he urged the food sellers to not raise prices above the highest retail price set up by the government. We, as the state-owned food holding company, always support food availability with prices that align with those set by the government. Even at yesterday's meeting with the National Police Chief, the main point was that there should be no exceedance above the highest retail price. This is the appeal. So the hope is that sellers can maintain this and not take an advantage by raising prices. Despite its status as a commercial company, ID Food is assigned by Indonesian government to maintain food availability and its price stability alongside other institutions, especially 10 foodstuffs such as sugar, meat, and cooking oil. Sis Apik added that the company has involved the state-owned postal company Pos Indonesia to ensure smooth food distribution. Last but not least, we have information about Indonesian nutritionists suggest more protein to eat in Ramadan. An Indonesian dietitian's nutritionist, Wita Rizky Amelia, suggested Muslims not eating much carbohydrate during their month-long Ramadan fast. In a VOI talk interview by RRI Voice of Indonesia on Friday, she advised Muslims to eat more proteins while taking the sahur, or pre-fasting meal before the dawn.
Before dawn, every people try to eat mostly were carbohydrates, right? Mm-hmm. But actually, what we need is not just carbohydrates. We need to have an endurance during the day. So we need mostly were proteins. Okay, because if you eat a lot of carbohydrates in sugar, you cannot have the endurance during the day.
Amelia added that a fasting person should also eat vegetables and avoiding eating lots of sugar. According to her, eating too much sugar can accelerate dehydration during fasting. Amelia also advised people like congenital disease to see the doctor before fasting to check up their health condition. Well, listener, that was some information that happens in Indonesia this week on Highlight of the Week. Before we're moving on to our next info, let's listen to a song.
We don't need to run from reality. We just have to face it with ability. We don't need to ask for something more. Just do what we can, what we have before. We are the people, we are the world. Write down the future and make a change. We are the people, we are the world. Bright up the picture and make it dance. We don't have to wait for someone else. We just have to do it our best. Ooh. And we don't need to be perfectly right.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
In remote areas, our search. In urban areas, I was thrown away for no reason. Have you ever thought that I'm what a tree needs to live? I am what animals need to reproduce. I am what humans need to survive. Yes, I am water. Save me so that the earth and its content can continue to be sustainable.
Welcome back, listener, and thank you for staying tuned in Indonesia today. Danantara has launched on February 24, 2025. For the initial stage, it is projected to have funding of 320 trillion rupiah or $20 billion. Danantara is also projected to be a global investment firm like Malaysia's Khazanah or Singapore's Temasek. But can Danantara increase investment value in Indonesia? Here is Rahma with Eko Listianto, Deputy Director of INDEF in VOI Talk that was taken from Wednesday on February 26, 2025.
We have already proven our commitment to managing Indonesia's wealth and assets with very careful financial discipline and responsible governance. In our first 100 days, my administration secured over $20 billion in savings, funds that were once trapped in inefficiency, corruption, misallocation, but will now be channeled into 20 high-impact national projects, creating real long-term benefits for our people.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome to VOI Talk with me, Rahma, that you can enjoy on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI, and also YouTube channel live on VOI Official. Listener, Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto on Monday launched Daya Anagata Nusantara or Danantara Investment Management Agency. This agency will function as Indonesia's sovereign wealth fund to manage national investments. So can Danantara increase investment value in Indonesia? We'll talk more about this with our today's source joining us here on Zoom. We have Eko Listianto, Deputy Director of Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF. Good morning, Pa Eko. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Ba Rahma.
Welcome to VOI Talk. So we just talk a bit about Danantara that is recently launched. How promising you'll see this program?
Okay, yeah. I think this is a new innovation from the government about this institution. About the prospect of this new institution, I think we still have some question maybe about how to make sure that this Danantara will make a big profit and share the dividend for the government. I think overall we have opportunity to make sure that in the future we have we have a lot of money or liquidity to make sure that our economic growth will be better. But so far, if we look at the structure of the Danantara and also the plan for, I think, for the middle and the long term, we still has a challenge, I think, for explain, especially to the public, because this is not easy to explain to the public actually, because this is a super holding. It's so many I think new word, I think, for the common people. Overall, I think we have a chance to make Indonesia better, especially in the economic growth with this institution, because actually the big challenge for the Indonesia to achieve 8% economic growth is about how to make sure that there is enough liquidity in to grow the economic. Yeah.
Okay, before going deeper into the challenges, how to run it, let's have more insight to our listeners and viewers about Danantara itself. What is it all about? How it will be running, and who's or which behind this agency?
Yeah. Danantara, it's this is actually a super holding. Yeah, the money, it's come from the dividend from the some of our several SOEs, state-owned enterprise, and this institution, the Danantara, will manage their dividend, this dividend to invest, yeah, and to do some project, yeah, to make sure that it will give profit, yeah, for this Danantara, and also with this profit, they will make a bigger investment and also give the dividend for the government. Yeah, this is the general concept like this. But because this is a big holding, so Danantara can invest both of in domestic and in abroad investing in abroad also. This is like we call a sovereign wealth fund, yeah? But with the a big role, yeah, in economy.
Okay, and talking about the investment, what sectors will Danantara invest in, and how can it increase investment in Indonesia?
Okay, Mbak Rama, in Danantara, it's actually separate to a big holding. Yeah, it's called operational holding and also investment holding. The operational holding will manage not just investment, but this is also operational. Actually, they also manage the project. Yeah, and try to invite another or maybe investor, yeah, but both of from domestic and also from the outside of Indonesia, yeah, from the abroad, yeah. And for the investment holding, it's manage just invest, yeah, just invest in, it's mean just invest in some maybe a project, maybe yeah, we call it maybe government bond and everything that will give return. Yeah, so this is like a passive income. Yeah, we call that, and that's in operational. Yeah, they also do also involve, yeah, in all of we call it the operational of this this project. So this is the different. So if we talk about what will the Danantara do with this big money from the government or from the SOEs, I mean, yeah, they try to invest in some strategic project, yeah, like downstream industry, yeah, and also even in artificial intelligence. Yeah, yeah, President said there are about 20 potential project. Yeah. But I think in the detail, yeah, we need to wait the explanation from the Danantara itself. Yeah.
Yes, but what I got information that it's also still paying attention to, for example, green economy related, yes, to climate change like that. But what about the mechanism of Danantara for managing state assets to make them more productive?
Yeah, to make them more productive, I think yeah, we can call it capital. This is the Dananda rights come from big SOEs, yeah, so in BRI or Mandiri and also or Mind ID, there is so many a talent, yeah, that they can try to, yeah, get a more profitable project, yeah, and so on and so on. And I think with this a good human resource from this Danandara holding, yeah, I think yeah, there are some chance, yeah, to make a profit, make a good project, yeah. Yeah, I think that's all about the how to make a productive. So we need also to more information, I think, from the government and from the Danantara, yeah, because this is just a 3-day, I think, from the announcement from the president. Yeah.
Okay. And you think will it have an impact on micro, small and medium enterprises and the people's economic sector?
Yeah, we hope. Yeah, this Danantara will give some impact from the MSMEs, yeah. But I think the first challenge is to prove to the public, yeah, to make sure that this Danantara will make more profitable, yeah, for the government. It's we call it quick win from the Danantara, yeah. So MSMEs also will involve in this project, I think, because one of the purpose of this institution is to create more job, yeah. So more job, it's mean need to involve the MSME, but I think in the short term, in they try to prove that they will make a bigger profit, yeah, to make sure that they will in the next step they will try to invite MSMEs to join the project, yeah, in some area project, of course, not in all project, I think.
Okay, you said earlier about profit, then another important thing is transparency, accountability. How do you think the government guarantee those issues?
Yeah, with the big question from the public right now, I think the transparency is still the big challenge, yeah. Especially for the short term, public still confused about the mechanism of the Danantara transparency and governance. It's still a big question. Even the government said that there are so many monitoring institution, I think, yeah, or evaluating institution from many stakeholder, but the big challenge for this institution is to explain for the public, yeah, because we can see that the CEO of the Danantara is also ministry in one department. Yeah, so this is not easy. I think a good explanation that that is a due action that, yeah, they need to, especially for the executive Danantara, need to independent. They have some position in some strategic institution. I think it's not good for the public, yeah. So yeah, we know that so far public still I can say distrust, yeah, with this governance, yeah, because the structure is still confused, especially for the public.
Okay. Transparency and communication to public to strengthen trust. And talking about the organizational structure of Danantara, like you mentioned before, that it is led by Minister of Investment and Downstreaming. There are also former presidents of Indonesia as the Advisory Council. And there is also British former Prime Minister Tony Blair in the Supervisory Council. So what is your opinion about this structure, especially Mr. Blair?
Okay, Batama. In short, I can say that it's still not enough for public, yeah, and also for the investors to give a good explanation, I think, yeah, for the public, and also good guarantee, yeah, that this institution will give a profit and also give a good governance, yeah, because if we look at the background for people, I think, yeah, executive in there, it's still a big doubt, I think, yeah, because this is the backgrounds come from a politic area, yeah, not investor area, in some the people, yeah, in this executive, yeah, and also I think the double job from the CEO and as a minister and also as a CEO, it's I think, yeah, give a bad signal, yeah, for the market, I think, so far, yeah. So we need I think for the Danantara with the final decision, it's still in some a good strategic position for the CEO and for the executive, or yeah, they need to choose, yeah, the position.
Okay, so with the organizational structure and the mechanism that we talk about before, can really Danantara increase investment value in Indonesia?
Yeah, I think we have a chance in this aspect, yeah, because before Danantara, the dividend from the government is just, yeah, become a state budget, yeah, and also we disburse, and that's all. There is no profit in there, yeah. So after Danantara come, yeah, I think we can manage this dividend, and also we can invest more in some strategic projects. So this is the big chance for us to make investment bigger and bigger, and also, yeah, of course we need transparency, accountability. It's the challenge for today, yeah, but I think for the long term, yeah, we have a chance to make the investment bigger in Indonesia.
Okay. And in other countries, of course, there's also this sovereign wealth fund, like in the Singapore Temasek or GIC. How do we compare with that? And how do you think that we can be like the Singapore's sovereign wealth fund?
Okay, in short, we can imagine Danantara, it's like Temasek, actually. It's a little bit different with GIC, yeah, because GIC is they try to manage the international reserve from the central bank, yeah. But Temasek, it's holding from some of state-owned enterprises. So I think this is similar with Temasek, yeah. We still try to make a bigger as Temasek in not in just in term in asset, but in the activity. I think, yeah, this is still a big challenge for us to, yeah, we hope one day we will become the, yeah, like Temasek or maybe Khasanah in Malaysia.
Or what things that we can learn from the Temasek or the other country's sovereign wealth fund?
Okay, I think the lesson learned that we can try to from this Temasek, I think first is about the governance. Yeah, I think this is a good Temasek. Yeah, has a good governance. Yeah, we can look from the standard. Yeah, and also from the like Moody's S&P accreditation. It shows. The first grade, I think. So then Antara still have challenge to at least same with Temasek in some area, like in the grade, also the we need to start from the international standard for the governance. I think if we can make this institutional aspect, we will has a chance one day will become like a Temasek.
Okay, and final question is, what is the key success so we can be like Temasek or Norway sovereign wealth funds, and then your expectation please for Danantara?
Yeah, Mbak Rahma, my first expectation is about the clarity, or we need to make sure that the executive from the Danantara is independent people. Yeah, there is no some of position. Yeah, it will confuse from the public and also for the investor. And if there is no change in this structure, I think the investors never come, because there is so they always doubt about the position. Yeah, and the second, my expectation is about the chance for the Danantara to become a game changer, I think, for the saving investment gap in Indonesia. So the big problem in Indonesia actually about how to achieve more than 5% in GDP growth. The first thing that we need to tackle is about the more liquidity. Yeah? And more liquidity will come from, I think Danantara has a chance to invite more liquidity to Indonesia, to the domestic market. We need to give opportunity for the Danantara to prove that they will invite more investor, and create more project that will make Indonesia economic better.
So the key success according to you for Danantara?
Okay, the key success is of course is about the governance. This is the top priority for me.
Okay, Danantara today's just launched. We still have long time to go, and hopefully we can see the real implementation of Danantara to increase investment value in Indonesia. Eko Listianto, thank you so much, Deputy Director of INDEF, Institute for Development of Economics and Finance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mbak Rahma.
Well, listener, that's today's VOI talk about Danantara Investment Management Agency that was just launched on Monday by Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto, whether it will increase investment value in Indonesia. Hopefully. Well, listeners, stay tuned for more insightful VOI talk only on Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Ballin', say to my, working my job for the job. just hope you know that I got money.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Jalan diri ingin
Well, listener, that was our dialogue today about Danantara. Can Danantara increase investment value in Indonesia? Now let's move on to our next segment. Here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Gili Iang, located in Sumenep Regency, Madura Island, which is the best place to experience the freshest air in Indonesia. With an oxygen level of 20.9%, it surpasses other regions. Gili Iang has been recognized as the second best oxygen zone in the world, following the Dead Sea in Jordan. This island even went viral as the island of eternal youth. Gili Iang also offers various attractions around the island, such as Batu Cangga, a steep cliff facing the Java Sea. In the local language, Batu Cangga means rock that supports a cliff. This natural wonder features hollow formations resembling tunnels, naturally supported by rocks that look like pillars of a house. Covering an area of 9.15 square kilometers, the island can be explored within just a day. However, if you wish to stay longer and enjoy its fresh air, locals offer their homes for rent at negotiable prices. To reach Gili Iang, you can take a sea taxi, a term used by the people of Dungkak. The sea taxi is a motorized wooden boat. The journey to Gili Iang by sea taxi takes about 30 to 40 minutes from Dungkak Harbor, depending on weather conditions and wave height. The distance between Gili Iang and Dungkak Harbor is about 9 kilometers, while the distance from Dungkak Harbor to Sumenep City Center is about 30 kilometers. Dungkak Harbor and Gili Iang are separated by the Java Sea. Gili Iang has two docks, Ropet Beach in Banras Village, located on the eastern tip of the island, which serves as a port for fishermen, and a passenger dock in Banchamara Village on the island's western tip. Well, listener, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
My teeth, yeah, I'm on it. And I will chase my dreams, cause I'm all in.
girl.
Good morning, yeah. The sun's calling.
Call
you're it. Feeling fresh, no yawning.
No yawning.
Gotta brush your teeth, you were on
you're
it.
On
and we will chase our dreams cause we're all in.
Tune in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. You can contact us to our Facebook fan page at The Voice of Indonesia or Instagram account at VOI_official and email address voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and have a weekend.